Chapter 6, Our Safety Against Delusions.
Sincerity alone will not save. Faith in a lie will not have a sanctifying influence upon the life or character. No error is truth, or can be made truth by repetition, or by faith in it. Sincerity will never save a soul from the consequences of believing an error. Without sincerity, there is no true religion, but sincerity in a false religion will never save a man. I may be perfectly sincere in following a wrong road, but that will not make it the right road, or bring me to the place I wish to reach. The Lord does not want us to have a blind credulity, and call that the faith that sanctifies. The truth is the principle that sanctifies, and therefore it becomes us to know what is truth. We must compare spiritual things with spiritual. We must prove all things, but hold fast only that which is good, that which bears the divine credentials, which lays before us the true motives and principles which should prompt us to action. Letter 12, 1890. An outward transformation of character. As long as individuals are content with the theory of truth and are yet lacking in the daily operation of the Spirit of God upon the heart, which is manifested in outward transformation of character, they are cutting themselves off from the qualification that would fit them for greater efficiency in the Master's work. Those who are devoid of the Holy Spirit cannot be faithful watchmen upon the walls of Zion, for they are blind to the work that ought to be done, and do not give the trumpet a certain sound. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, as on the day of Pentecost, will lead to a revival of true religion and to the performance of many wonderful works. Heavenly intelligences will come among us, and men will speak as they are moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God. But should the Lord work upon men as he did on and after the day of Pentecost, many who now claim to believe the truth would know so very little of the operation of the Holy Spirit that they would cry, "Beware of fanaticism." They would say of those who are filled with the Spirit, "These men are full of new wine." The time is not far off now when men will want a much closer relation to Christ, a much closer union with his Holy Spirit than ever they have had or will have, unless they give up their will and their way, and submit to God's will and God's way. The great sin of those who profess to be Christians is that they do not open the heart to receive the Holy Spirit. When souls long after Christ and seek to become one with him, then those who are content with the form of godliness exclaim, "Be careful, do not go to extremes." When the angels of heaven come among us and work through human agents, there will be solid, substantial conversions, after the order of the conversions after the day of Pentecost. Now, brethren, be careful, and do not go into or try to create human excitement. But while we should be careful not to go into human excitement, we should not be among those who will raise inquiries and cherish doubts in reference to the work of the Spirit of God, for there will be those who will question and criticize when the Spirit of God takes possession of men and women, because their own hearts are not moved, but are cold and unimpressible. Letter 27, 1894. Need for understanding the doctrine. Rebellion and apostasy are in the very air we breathe. We shall be affected by it unless we by faith hang our helpless souls upon Christ. If men are so easily misled, how will they stand when Satan shall personate Christ and work miracles? Who will be unmoved by his misrepresentations, professing to be Christ when it is only Satan assuming the person of Christ and apparently working the works of Christ? What will hold God's people from giving their allegiance to false Christ? "Go ye not after them," Luke 21:8. The doctrines must be plainly understood. The men accepted to teach the truth must be anchored. Then their vessel will hold against storm and tempest, because the anchor holds them firmly. The deceptions will increase. Letter 1, 1897. Satan is now more earnestly engaged in playing the game of life for souls than at any previous time, and unless we are constantly on our guard, he will establish in our hearts pride, love of self, love of the world, and many other evil traits. He will also use every possible device to unsettle our faith in God and in the truths of his word. If we have not a deep experience in the things of God, if we have not a thorough knowledge of his word, we shall be beguiled to our ruin by the errors and sophistries of the enemy. False doctrines will sap the foundations of many because they have not learned to discern truth from error. Our only safeguard against the wiles of Satan is to study the Scriptures diligently, to have an intelligent understanding of the reasons of our faith, and faithfully to perform every known duty. The indulgence of one known sin will cause weakness and darkness and subject us to fierce temptation. The Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. Look constantly to Jesus. Under the showers of the latter rain, the inventions of man, the human machinery, will at times be swept away. The boundary of man's authority will be as broken reeds, and the Holy Spirit will speak through the living, human agent with convincing power. No one then will watch to see if the sentences are well rounded off, if the grammar is faultless. The living water will flow in God's own channels. But let us be careful now not to exalt men, their sayings and doings, and let not anyone consider it a grand point to have a startling experience to relate. For here is a fruitful field where credence will be given to unworthy persons. Young men and women will be lifted up and will regard themselves as wonderfully favored, called to do some great thing. There will be conversions, many after a peculiar order, but they will not bear the divine signature. Immorality will come in, and extravagance, and many will make shipwreck of faith. Our only safety is in keeping fast hold of Jesus. Never are we to lose sight of him. He says, "Without me ye can do nothing," John 15:5. We must cultivate an abiding sense of our own inefficiency and helplessness and rely wholly on Jesus. This should keep us individually calm and steadfast in words and deportment. Excitement in the speaker is not power, but weakness. Earnestness and energy are essential in presenting Bible truth, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. There are quicksands upon which many are in danger of being swamped. It is always safe to seek for the earnest of the Spirit of God, if we do not mingle with it a force and presumption that is not heaven-born. There is need of caution in all our utterances, lest some poor souls of ardent temperament shall work themselves up into a zeal not according to knowledge. They will act as though it was their prerogative to use the Holy Spirit instead of letting the Holy Spirit use them and mold and fashion them after the pattern of the divine. There is danger of running ahead of Christ. We should honor the Holy Spirit by following where it shall lead. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. This is one danger of those who teach the truth to others. To follow where Christ leads is a safe path for our feet. His work will stand. Whatsoever God saith is truth. But ministers who bear the last message of mercy to fallen men must utter no random words. They must not open doors whereby Satan shall find access to human minds. It is not our work to experiment, to study out something new and startling that will create excitement. Satan is watching his chance to take advantage of anything of this order that he may bring in his deceiving elements. The Holy Spirit's moving upon the human agents will keep the mind well balanced. There will not be a wrought-up excitement to be followed by reaction. Satan will make use of every extravagant expression to the injury, not only of the speaker, but of those who shall catch the same spirit and infuse others to their harm. Calmness and solemnity should be cultivated. the solemn truths we dwell upon will lead us to manifest deep earnestness. How can we do otherwise when weighted with the most sacred message to bear to perishing souls, weighted by the sense of the nearness of our Savior's coming? If we are constantly looking unto Jesus and receiving His Spirit, we shall have clear eyesight. Then we shall discern the perils on every side, and shall guard every word we utter, lest Satan find opportunity to weave in his deceptions. We do not want to have the minds of the people wrought up into an excitement. We should not encourage an expectation to see strange and wonderful things, but teach them to follow Jesus step by step. Preach Jesus Christ, in whom our hope of eternal life is centered. Letter 102, 1894.